Welcome to the Ignite Podcast, the only healthcare marketing podcast that digs into the digital strategies and tactics that help you accelerate growth. Each week, Cardinals experts explore innovative ways to build your digital presence and attract more patients. Buckle up for another episode of Ignite.
We're going to have a blast today. We get to talk about DSI marketing. We're so proud to have you.
Hi, Alex. Thanks for having me.
Melanie, I love talking to DSO marketers because it was one of the first parts of healthcare to get, obviously it got consolidated before anybody else, but because it's a retail focus, it's some of the most advanced marketing of any part of healthcare. So I love talking to DSO marketers. You guys are always ahead of the game, have tested the newest technologies, tips, tricks, strategies. So these are always very invigorating discussions. Melanie, tell them how you got into DSO marketing. Give it everybody to do. We got 3 to 7 listeners listening to this right now. Tell them how you ended up in DSO marketing.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here. I love Cardinal and I love working with you guys. And I'm going to try my best to match your energy. So yeah, I've been at the Smilist and doing DSO marketing for about 8 years. It's been incredible, but this is my first job or career move in healthcare. I've always been in digital marketing. I love digital marketing. It's been my entire career. But prior to coming to the Smilist, I was at L'Oreal and doing digital marketing there, which was a lot of fun. So beauty industry. And before beauty, it was consumer electronics, working on an e-commerce store, doing a lot of email marketing. So digital has always been really, really central to what I've been doing.
I always say the marketers that can do e-com can do lead gen. The lead gen marketers cannot necessarily do e-com. We try to always recruit e-com marketing because y'all are the sharpest. You have like every dollar spent matters and it's attributable. Y'all care about more tech. All right, real quick, honest answer. Of the three, consumer appliance, beauty, and now kind of beauty, but L'Oreal, which has been your favorite? And it's this, we won't send it to the bosses, don't worry.
Honest answer is actually DSO. And I will say it is because I really feel like what I'm doing, even though it's marketing, I get to have an impact on people's lives. I'm not a healthcare provider, but I feel like there's a higher purpose to helping people find great providers or helping patients find great providers. So for that, I would say this is my favorite. But the perks in beauty are a lot of fun.
Yeah, now I've teed it white and clean, but our face is aging quick. Tell us a little bit about the Smilist. How many locations? A general dentistry, do we have all the rest of the fun? So give us a little background for framing it up for the listeners.
Yeah, so we've been around for 10 years. We just celebrated our 10-year anniversary, and we have over 60 locations, pushing 70 right now. We're in 5 states in the Northeast. And general and multi-specialty practices.
Okay. All right, good. That helps frame things up. And Melanie, what part of marketing, so you love all things digital and connecting patients with care. Do you also have peds as well? Or is it adult only?
It's really adults. We have very little peds.
Okay. I went to the dentist last week for filling that. I don't really think I need it. And dude, they barely know me. I think the dentist had just graduated. It was a DSO. You know, I won't call him out, but there was a big difference in connecting patients with great care and just the right now care. So yes, it is a mission driven. I'm glad you're mission driven. So are we. Really fun. So marketing, what do you love about digital marketing? How do you bring it? How do you think through it? Where did you start? You've been there, what? You said 8 years at the Smilist?
Yeah.
What was the foundation and then where did you expand out? Everybody who looks that, like, what's most important to you? And then where'd you go from there?
8 years ago, it was really setting the foundation for digital marketing. I think when I got here, there really wasn't any digital really being done. They were relying very heavily on postcards and direct mail. So, you know, one of the first things I did was really set up PPC campaigns and work on optimizing the website and thinking about, you know, user experience. So I feel like that was really the foundation, right? A great website, locally optimized, but optimized for keywords and, you know, everything really, really comprehensive, thinking about UI, which is really big in e-commerce. And then how do you attract, convert, retain? That was the foundation.
I like that. The whole patient journey. And it's interesting. You don't just think about the PPC and SEO stuff. You had to stand up. You're also thinking about, like, we drive the clicks, we pay for the clicks, SEO took forever. And now what are we going to do? When you're looking at Loser Interface, you guys have online appointments. It says reserve your appointment. And it's going out. What is the app? What is happening? What is it taking me?
So we use Next Health for online appointments. So it's, you know, real time booking, real time availability is shown. And that's like a must have, right?
Yeah.
And not every office, not every doctor and team wants to go on that, but it's really, really a must have from my perspective. If we're spending money online, we need to have online booking set up. That's how people want to schedule appointments. They don't want to call. Some do, and that's really important too, but we need both.
Let's say it's all Northeast. You find yourself in rural communities or in the cities?
Very limited rural. I mean, maybe some.
Online booking definitely is going to have more of an update. That's awesome. And you'd be surprised. It seems like a permission to play thing having online booking. But a lot of groups don't. The rest of healthcare outside of dental definitely doesn't. So they're, always trying to catch up to dental. Okay, so online booking. What else do you look at in the user interface when you're looking at awesome experience on like making sure they can book appointments and more? But what else?
What we are really focusing on right now is ensuring that we have the right content at the right stage in that patient's journey. So that's really a focus for this year. We kind of engaged with this whole social listening project last year, which is really cool, really insightful to understand, like, out there, what are the key drivers? What is motivating patients in the dental category, right? What are the motivators? What are the decision drivers? What are the fears? What are the concerns? And then how do we adapt our voice and our brand and our content to be, you know, authentic and be an authority across every single channel, right? It's not just one, to provide that education content at the right stage for that patient journey. So that's a big focus for us this year that, you know, we're really, really excited about.
What made you want to do that?
You know, I think that we all have thoughts on what is important and what our patients want, right? And who our patients are. But you don't know if you don't know, right? Like, you need kind of the supporting data, even though a lot of it was what we thought, but there were some really surprising insights.
Can you give us a non-secret clue?
Yeah, sure. I mean, and this is going to sound somewhat basic, but yes, the dentist is the MVP, right? But when you're thinking about patient experience and what patients want, it's about the whole team. That whole team in the dental office, from the person answering the phone to smiling when the patient walks in the door to the dental assistant to the hygienist. It is the whole team that is going to help a new patient become a patient of the practice. And so I think that from my perspective, that was pretty insightful, you know, thinking about it's not just about finding the right doctor, it's about finding the right team.
I love that. And it also gives you the ammunition to go to the front office, see the whole art of the teams at location, say, guys, it's not just us saying like, we need to be positive and have a seamless experience. Like, this is the brand audit and the focus groups are all saying this. If we don't accomplish it, someone else will. That's interesting. And oftentimes these like brand and focus group audits, they tell you what you kind of already know, but it's someone else telling you, cement it, and then you have like a go-forward check. Okay, great. I read that. Was it region-based? The audit was a focus, like that actually, how did labels happen? I read this. This is what, you know, patient journey's changing so much. I want to know everything about this.
So it was more national. I mean, there were some regional aspects when it was like the competitive analysis, but it really looked at the category of dentistry as a whole. And it was looking at, you know, social data out there. I think, you know, it was AI driven, like the conversational AI. It analyzed like over like 1.5 million conversations out there with people talking about their dental experience and what they're looking for. So, yeah.
I'm thinking about doing a live stream in the next 60 days all about AI and healthcare marketing in a compliant way, yada, 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 you know, but like, that's a great use case. And our teams are using that now. It is so crazy because our teams are using it to do the focus group messaging and audits. But anyway, so what? So it goes and looks at everything and it says, hey, listen, this is where dental patients care about. This is how the kind of experience they want. And then Melanie, what are you going to do with that now? So now you know a couple of key points. Is it going to change how how you advertise? Is it going to change the in-office marketing, the referral marketing? What changes?
I think that the creative, the messaging, the content, it'll just better align us with what patients want. What outcomes are they looking for? What are their fears? What are their concerns? And then we present our brand in that way. Not to say that we weren't already doing it, but a better alignment.
Yeah, I love that. Y'all have one brand, a house of brand. It's one brand, right? Everything is Smilus.
It's one brand. Yeah. When we affiliate with a practice, we really do care about our brand and standing behind our name. We do rebrand.
That's good. Is it like a migratory bird every time, every 12 months, it becomes powered by Smilus, and then Smilus a year from now, and they're done? Yeah.
We don't take, like, there's no cookie cutter approach where we, you know, you sign and then the Smilus brand goes up. We try to introduce it over time, preserve, you know, everything that's special in the former brand and practice, but introduce the Smilus because we're special.
And it's worked well. It's worked great. I think the M&A team struggled because Dr. John wants to keep the brand and the local flavor. And so they just say, yeah, you can retain it. It's like a good M&A strategy. But man, it's managed. Marketing's such a good house and brand. We're good at it, but so much more work.
And we're, you know, we have geographic density. So what we tell that doctor is that you're going to get more under the Smilus brand because we have brand recognition. We're known in our area. It's going to help you in the long run.
That's smart. That's a smart play. They acquire everything in a town because, and you'll have, yeah, I think like some like Sage Dental have done that in Florida. Smart, smart, smart. Okay, let's talk technology a little bit. With the HIPAA, over the last year and a half, all of the compliance stuff has gone crazy. What are some of the changes you had to make? You're a scaled out group, big issue, big problem, big opportunity. What has changed for the Smilus?
Yeah, I mean, we have actually really made this a focus. We have relied really heavily on the Cardinal team to, you know, help us implement these solutions. So you guys have been great. And I think it's been a lot on, you know, on the tracking side, right? So implementing platforms to replace things like GA, that was kind of key, and just getting our ducks in a row there.
Mm-hmm. And still finding a way to funnel great bookings and leads back into the platforms, which has been a big struggle, but having next up, super, super valuable there. Maddie, anything that comes to mind that didn't work, I know Cardinal went to paid media, so it ain't gonna offend me. I think it's important to talk about stuff that doesn't work because it does flow to groups in other regions, but it sometimes can't work for some. Anything that you can think of over the last year that didn't pan out well?
So we did a test for local service ads for a handful of our offices, and that didn't work so great, which is okay because that's how you learn, by testing and trying new things, right? But yeah, we really struggled to get any conversions. It got us leads, the local service ads, but we weren't able to convert them. So that was something that didn't really pan out. We were really excited about it.
Well, two things that are awesome there. Well, one, shame on Cardinal, but we've seen it works to every blue says, and I think it's region-based. So that's not every idea. It's very cool that, you know, it got leads, but not conversions. Guys, if you learn anything from these 20, 30 minutes we're going to spend with Melanie, it's like, you got to understand what's converting, and Melanie's got enough of the technology and systems and online booking to know the leads are not converting into conversions. So very important. Leads are almost becoming a vanity metric. Anyway, Seth, how did you know? Is it a specific type of patient? Like, what was yielding bad, lots of leads, bad bookings?
Yeah. It was patients whose insurance we were not in network with. So, and we knew by, you know, kind of, I mean, they're tracked, right? So we reviewed the calls, we listened to them, and that's how we knew.
Yeah,
so
awesome. Yeah, very cool. We've been learning from the stuff that doesn't work. Melanie, you got 18 people on your team, 170 location DSO. How are you doing?
18. So we are a very small but mighty team. I have two. I have two
full-timers.
Right. Two marketing superstars. Yeah, Heather and Bobby. So it's Heather, Bobby, and myself. And we are the marketing team for...
Everybody wants to know, like, how do you scale out a group? And that's why I always like to talk about team structure. What do Heather and Bobby have ownership over?
So Bobby handles a lot of, like, the graphic design and the execution of our marketing campaigns. And Heather's our marketing manager. And she is responsible for oversight more oversight and execution. You know, I think it's really important when you're trying to build out a team, you don't actually look for a copy of yourself. You have to find people that complement your skills, right? So, and hire for culture and, you know, the values of the organization. And thankfully, that is totally what I have in them. But yeah, that's
hire for culture and then hire compliments. Like, you know digital so well. Do you need it? Like, you could need another one because it's such an important part of the Smileys role, but you know it so well. Like, I would ever compensate on people that know something totally different and almost like get the agency or contractors to do. Is that, kind of the thesis? Yeah.
That is exactly the approach that I took, right? Yeah. So yes, my entire career has been in digital and not healthcare, right? My previous experience. Heather has some digital experience, but she has a lot of healthcare experience and is more marketing communications, you know, relationship driven. She's amazing at face-to-face people interactions and building that relationship. And again, the culture piece is really important because our marketing team is here to support the office. Support the doctors, support the ops team. So I can't say enough about hiring for the right culture.
Yeah. B2B side in support of all the affiliate. Do y'all call your doctors affiliates? What do you call? Well, no, because they're rebranded as Smileys. So no, we're not going to be affiliates. Yeah. Awesome. So you found a win to learn with those two. That's great. And what are we excited about this year? You've gotten through the initial hurdles of the HIPAA compliance and getting tagging, tracking, and all that kind of fun stuff. And you've got your signals being ported in, and you know what leads are becoming conversions. You got online booking. So we're excited about the patient journey and the experience because you've done the research. That's a focus for this year. Anything else you'd like to tell the listeners to look out for in the dental space or otherwise in healthcare marketing, AI, any kind of trends? Well, you're using it. So anything else you're really excited about?
I mean, I use ChatGPT to write these answers. So ChatGPT said AI. I almost got you to do a spit take.
You almost got me. So ChatGPT has a certain size in your eyebrow. Of course, it would recommend. So it's that.
No, but I mean, seriously, I think AI is obviously the trend that we all have to watch. We recently switched over to a new call system.
What are you using now?
PureLogic.
Okay, PureLogic. All right, good. Everybody likes to know what everybody's using. Great. And you're excited because they've got an AI listening system or something in there?
Yes, precisely. Yep.
All right, good. Yeah, it's interesting, Melanie. You and I weren't alive for the invention of the internet. And now all of a sudden we get to live through, what is the next internet? And it's like scratching the surface. You can tell it's kind of useless most of the time, but there's something there and it can be utilized as an extension of ourselves. And the more I'm learning, it's it's not ChatGPT is one of a million of these things. And the more I talk to my team, I'm like, gosh, you need to start using this more because, you know, it's so important to our clients and we get variations and we expand our abilities. And it's so innovative. And it helps make us so much more fit. And they're like, yes, we are. And these are all the use cases we use. Right. And you didn't tell me. I'm with you. It's going to change a lot. Do you, for self-education, know any? This is a question I often get to. How do you stay up on trends? You hire an agency. It's a decent one, I hear. And so I guess they get to bring the stuff from the other clients that they hear about. But how else? How else do you stay on trend and get ahead of things for your industry?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just really important to find the industry leaders and groups out there, whether it's, Becker's Dental Review, right? There's a lot of them. It all depends on, what industry you're in, and attend those events. Stay connected through your peers and your colleagues. But I mean, it's also really important, I think, to look at other industries. I think that's why I like taking my past life and applying it to dental. Yeah. It is retail facing, right? And yes, this is a patient experience. So why does that have to be different than a customer experience in some ways? So you just got to find for yourself what is out there and stay in touch with it.
I love it. And don't just, if I heard anything that it's don't just attend the healthcare DSO marketing conferences and connections. You can learn a lot from the e-com marketers, from the consumer product marketers. In fact, they're ahead of us generally in healthcare. We're catching up quick and we're doing innovative. We have a lot of regulatory issues that we have to contend with. No one else does, but there's still lots of innovative advertising and they use the most modern DSPs and tracking and stuff like that. So I love that. Connect with peers that are not just in healthcare marketer. Mm-hmm. Go to the events that are not just in healthcare marketing. So we learned about where to start. We need to look at first how to expand out from there, how to get incredible brand messaging and insights done at scale through the wizardry of AI. We have to learn how to get signals. We learned about different tracking technologies. Melanie, can anyone reach out to you? Do you want them to find you on LinkedIn? Is that okay if people have questions?
Absolutely. Yep.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Ignite. Interested in keeping up with the latest trends in healthcare marketing? Subscribe to our podcast and leave a rating and review. For more healthcare marketing tips, visit our blog at cardinaldigitalmarketing.com.